This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we do not have knowledge except that which you have granted us, for indeed you are the owner of knowledge, all wise. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us knowledge that will benefit us, and we ask you to benefit us from the knowledge that you have granted us. We also seek refuge, Ya Allah, from knowledge that we will make no use of, from eyes that will not cry for your sake, from a heart that will not tremble in your fear, from a soul that will never be content and a stomach that will never be filled, and a dua that we make that is not answered. Ameen. Honored ulama and beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, firstly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us such great opportunities to listen to His word. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and to grant us the ability to receive the message and to do something about it. Because gone are the days when we listen to something and we say it was a good talk, a good message, and then we do nothing about it. We really need to receive the message and do something about it. That is when it will develop within us and we will be champions of the deen. May Allah choose us to be from amongst them. In the verses we read this evening, we completed Surah An-Naml, the surah where the story of the ant was mentioned. If you recall, we spoke about it last night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question to those who worship others besides Allah. Allah says,
Allah khayrun amma yushrikun.
Who is better? Is Allah better or those who are being associated as partners with Allah? That is a question right at the end of the 19th part of the Quran. And if you notice, the 20th part of the Quran, the first page is full of questions. What are these questions? Allah is saying what He has created. He created skies, the earth, the mountains, everything Allah has created. It's amazing how Allah asks the question, is there anyone besides Allah, with Allah, who is a God, who is a creator? None but Allah. Who is a creator? None but Allah. I want to draw a very interesting point. If you dive deeper into the surah, we come up with something very interesting. The ant is a very small creature. On its own, it can achieve nothing. Nothing. But you notice one ant called the other ants to say, oh ants, this is what it is. Sulaiman will come with his army and so on. What we learn from that is, they had also, and they do have, an ummah. They have a brotherhood. They have a bond. And that's what keeps them going. And that's why you will find no chaos when it comes to the ants. And this is why when an ant finds goodness, it does not enjoy that goodness on its own. It will go back and inform the other ants that I have found something, let's all go. As a team, they go, they will carry a locust which is 500 times the size of one ant. But 100 ants will carry it and they will take it back to base. I'm sure we've seen it happening in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. What we learn from this is, singularly, we will achieve nothing. As an ummah, united, we will achieve everything. Let's continue. We make mention of what Allah has spoken about in the questions in the same surah. All the examples are very same or similar to the example of the ants. Allah speaks about the ocean, and Allah says, who created the ocean? I'd like to inform you, one droplet of water will evaporate in no time, even in the atmosphere we have in this room, as cool as it is, mashallah. But you have many droplets put together, make a glass. A glass, it's more difficult to evaporate. And if you have lots and lots of water together, it makes an ocean. And that ocean has a lot of might, a lot of power. We learn that one droplet alone is nothing, but many droplets together have a force. Once again, singularly, we will achieve nothing. Together, as an ummah, as a united force, we will achieve a lot. Another example, Allah gives the example of the mountains. Allah says, who has created the mountains here? Look, one droplet of sand can be blown away just by a little blowing of the mouth, blown out. But you have 200-300 drops or small little atoms or little dust particles, you have a mountain, mashallah. That mountain, what do you got to do? You've got to bring earth removing or earth moving equipment in order to try and just create something or try and maybe mold something into that mountain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Again, the message is, one small item on its own will not achieve, but collectively it has a power and a force. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding. So these are some of the examples we learn from a surah named after one of the small creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We too, singularly, I promise you, we are insignificant. We will not be able to achieve much, but together we can achieve a lot. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the last day again in Surah An-Naml towards the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one of the powerful signs of Qiyamah. Listen to the sign. Allah says,
وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ.
Towards the end of time, we will cause a beast to come out onto the earth and speak to people in their language. Which means an animal will communicate the language of human beings. How that will happen, only Allah knows. But today, you know, people are tampering, cloning and tampering with genetics and tampering with so many things. One wonders. We are not saying yes or no, but we do know this is definitely a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. There will be a beast that will speak the language of myself and yourselves. And we will be able, may Allah protect us, but whoever is there at the time will communicate with this beast. Allah says that will be a sign of Qiyamah. Then the verse I mentioned a few days ago is in this surah, Surah An-Naml, where Allah says,
وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً.
You see the mountains, they seem to be solid to you, but on that day,
وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ,
they will be moving like clouds. And I remember making mention of the heat of the moment, and that is what will actually cause this mountain to crumble. In fact, one wonders exactly how that will happen. The mercy of Allah we ask for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how terrified everybody will be after they see all this disaster. They will hear the trumpet being blown, causing the greatest disaster. Did you ever know that sound alone can destroy? Sound alone can destroy. If there is a huge sound, it will break the walls here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah says, when the trumpet is blown, there will be a massive sound, so large, so big, that everything will be destroyed. Amazing. Subhanallah. Allah says,
وَيَوْمَ يُنفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَن شَاءَ اللَّهِ.
The day that the trumpet shall be blown, everything on the earth and in the skies shall be completely terrified besides that which Allah has decided will be the exception. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided will be the exception, will be the exception. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this day towards the end of Surah An-Naml. The next surah is a very interesting surah, named after the stories of the time of Moses, may peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Al-Qasas. And this is a surah in which the greatest detail of the story of Moses is mentioned, may peace be upon him. The greatest detail, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are relating to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the story of Moses and Pharaoh, Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, with truth, with accuracy. Here it is. And the story commences, and I'm sure we made mention a few days back of how when he was born, he was placed into a little basket and placed into the river by his mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salam, promising her that we will return this child to you, don't worry, leave it to us, place the child in a basket into the river. That's exactly what the mother did, and the mother was concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وحرمنا عليه المراضع من قبل فقالت هل أدلكم على أهل بيتي يكفلونه لكم وهم له ناصحون.
A beautiful incident that occurred. This child refused to suckle from the breast of anybody after the child was picked up by the wife of Fir'aun. And they were looking for someone to breastfeed the child. The child refused. Now they were worried. They began to look. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how beautifully Allah had planned that they would lead Fir'aun's family to the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Lo and behold, that was the only breast that he suckled from his own mother. So they had no choice but to bring her into the picture. Without knowing that this is the real mother, Allah says,
فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ.
We returned him to his mother so that her eyes could be cooled by looking at her child once again. When we have children, they are the coolness of our eyes. When they are young, mashallah, we hold them, we cuddle them, we ask Allah to protect them, mashallah. When they disappear from our sight for a while, we are worried. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that love. And may He make our homes full of love and full of goodness. Ameen. So the eyes of Musa alayhi salam's mum were cooled, and Allah says, in order to fulfill our promise, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ, so that she could know that the promise of Allah is the truth.
وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
Allah says, but many of them don't know. Many people don't know that the promise of Allah is the truth. We have something to learn from this. Tonight we engaged in salah. What are we promised? Allah says, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. A promise of Allah. Whoever stands in the month of Ramadan in Qiyam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind, full iman, expecting a reward of Allah, all his sins will be forgiven. Do we believe in that promise? We need to believe in it. When Allah's promised us Jannah, He will give it to us. We need to abstain from prohibitions. Then we will get that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in order for her to know that our promise is the truth. Many people don't know that our promise is the truth. When we promise you something, we will give it to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all goodness, and He has promised that He will forgive those who seek forgiveness. May we be from amongst them tonight. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues to speak about how Musa alayhi salam was given the most luxurious upbringing. He was fed in such a way, mashallah, he was a healthy, very strong young man, and he came out. He was looked after in such a way that he was not allowed to interact much with people. But when he came out into the city, he noticed two people fighting. One of the first things he seen, one was from Banu Israel, the other was a Coptic man. And Musa alayhi salam, now knowing that which party he belonged to, he tried to look at who had caused the problem here. And he went and he noticed that this man, who was not from Banu Israel, was the perpetrator. So Musa alayhi salam, in his strength, gave him one blow. One blow. The man was dead. Allahu Akbar. Today we think, mashallah, Mike Tyson is the most powerful person. One blow, Allah, he's not going to kill anybody. But imagine the Nabi of Allah. What type of might he must have had. One blow, the man was gone. Please, let's not try it on each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strength, but for the right reasons. So Musa alayhi salam immediately said, هذا من عمل الشيطان. Oh Allah, forgive me. This is the deed of shaitan. Shaitan led me astray. How many of us, when we do something wrong, we admit immediately, Ya Allah, this is wrong. Ya Allah, this is the work of shaitan. Forgive me, Ya Allah, I won't do it again. Let's learn from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know that anyone who regrets the sin they commit, it's a sign of iman. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. According to a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, if your good deed makes you happy and content, and your bad deed makes you regret, then that's a sign that you're a believer. There's something you believe in, that's why you are regretting your bad deed. But when a person commits a bad deed and they don't bat an eyelid and they're not bothered and they commit it again and again and again, they lose their iman. To them it's nothing. So may Allah make us from those who regret whenever we do something bad. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us feel the joy of the good deeds whenever we have engaged in them. Like the salah, mashallah, that we read this evening and we are reading every evening. And the fasting that we are engaged in for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this. And then he says that Musa alayhi salam, the following day, he happened to see the same man from Banu Israel fighting with somebody else. Now no one knew who had killed the man the previous day. There was speculation, there was rumor, but no one had known. The following day, what happened is, this man, Musa alayhi salam, saw him and went forth to try and grip him, to see, hey, what is it you're fighting every day? This man got very worried. Yesterday, one shot, that one went. Today, one shot, I might go. He says, Ya Musa, aturidu an taqtulani, kama qatalta nafsan bil ams. Oh Musa, do you want to kill me like you killed the man yesterday? When that statement was made, everybody knew now who committed the murder the previous day. So the people began to look for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. My dearest listeners, this was the plan of Allah. Allah wanted Musa alayhi salam to get married to one of the best of women. And Allah wanted him to be in the company of another pious man. And Allah wanted to give him training. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to be a shepherd. And Allah wanted to give him nubuwa on his way back. So Allah used this as a plan that Fir'aun and his men were looking for him. So Musa alayhi salam had to leave what today we would say is self-imposed exile. He left on his own accord. A man came to him and said, hey, Fir'aun and them are looking for you, you'd better leave. He says, okay, I'm leaving. Where did he leave? He decided to go towards a place known as Madian. When he made his intention to go to Madian, he made a dua to Allah. Ya Allah, guide me to the path, open my doors for me. As he arrived in Madian, he was a strong man, mashallah. And he's seen all the people with their sheep, all the shepherds with their sheep, making their sheep drink from the well. And he noticed at a distance, there were two ladies who were also standing there with their sheep, but a little bit further back, and they were not coming forward. So he asked them a question. مَا خَطُبُكُمَا What is it that you people are doing here?
قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءُ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ
We are not going to take our sheep whilst all the men are there in the front. And we'd like you to know that our father is a very elderly man. Why did they have to tell him about the father? Because a question would arise, why are the women doing this? Where are the men of the home? So before that question was asked, he already was told that the reason why the women are here is because the men or the father we have is an old man. That's the reason why they made mention of the father. And from this we learn that the breadwinner in the home, primarily the man. May Allah make us fulfill our roles correctly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us in that regard and grant us barakah in our sustenance. Then he decided to assist them. So he took their sheep for them. And in no time, mashallah, less than half the time he was already over, he'd given them back their sheep and they were on their way home, these women, with utmost respect. When they got home early, the father asked them. Now, according to some of the narrations, who was the father? He was Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam. This was according to some of the narrations, though some dispute it. But the narrations that we know, it is Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's what we are going to use here. So, when he saw his daughters were back, he asked them, how come you're back so early? They told him the story. There was a man, and this is what happened. He looked like a foreigner, a stranger, utmost dignity, respect. He asked us a question. He assisted us, and this is what happened. So the father says, go and bring him. Go and ask him to come here. I want to see the man. Now, why did Shu'aib alayhi salam call this man? Something very interesting. And let's listen. Those of us who have daughters especially, when there is a person who has good qualities, we should open our eyes. Remember, in Islam, the women folk are meant to be seated at home. They are meant to be, they're not meant to be exposed and displayed everywhere like the Indian culture teaches. May Allah protect us. In Islam, it's the other way around. The men of the home, they know who is in the masjid. They meet lots of young men and they meet lots of people. They need to have their eyes open. The minute you see a young man with good character, good conduct, seize him, take him for your daughter. Subhanallah. Don't be shy to go out and ask. Listen to what happened. Even when it comes to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, wallahi I promise you, against all odds, Khadija radiallahu anha married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was absolutely no hope under normal circumstances for a widow who was 40 to marry a man who was extremely good looking, subhanallah, to marry one who was known as the most honest, the most trustworthy, to marry a man who was an extremely successful businessman. But she had the courage to send out a proposal from a woman to a man. Lo and behold, it was accepted. Subhanallah. So do not underestimate the sunnah of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The bulk of marriages occurred when the fathers of the women got up and they proposed for their daughters to marry certain men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all good husbands for our daughters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us as husbands, the best husbands for the daughters of those whom we have brought into our marriage. Meaning, for those daughters of the men who are our fathers-in-law. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the qualities that are needed to build the best home. So Shu'aib alayhi salam decided to send to call this man. When he came in, how did he walk? Something we need to know. He told these ladies that, look, instead of me walking behind you as women, let me walk in front of you and you guide me, tell me where to turn, left or right or straight or what have you. So in that way, his gaze was lowered automatically. And they knew this man is honest. One, he's very hard working, because we saw him operate when he was giving the sheep a drink. And now we can see he's very honest, because look at how he's walking. He's a man in need. He had made a dua. Ya Allah, whatever you send in my direction in terms of goodness, I need it. So Shu'aib alayhi salam heard the story. One of the daughters said, "Oh, our father, ya abati istajirhu, inna khayra man istajarta al-qawiyyul amin." Oh, our father, every day we going out and doing the sheep, why don't you offer this man a job? Subhanallah. Because the best person you can employ is the one who's honest and hardworking. In fact, the Quran says hardworking and honest, strong and honest. We learn up to today. You want to employ someone, look for these two qualities. If one quality is missing, flop. You want to work somewhere, you need these two qualities. One quality is missing, no success. You need to be hardworking and honest. If you're very honest but no hardworking, you don't meet your production. And if you're very, very hard working but not honest, again, everything goes missing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection. So, when the daughter said this, the father decided to say something else. He says, "Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda ibnatayya hatayni ala an ta'jurani thamaniya hijaj." This man was in need. He didn't own much. Shu'aib alayhi salam gave him directly, "Listen, I want to get one of my daughters, one of the two, you choose, married to you on condition that you work for me for 8 years. That was the mahar. That was the bride price. So Musa alayhi salatu was salam was offered this. What did he do? Wallahi, he took up the offer. And Shu'aib alayhi salam says, "If you complete 10 years, the other two will be your goodness." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got him married to the most blessed of women of the time, subhanallah. The daughter of a Nabi as well, according to the narrations. MashaAllah. And after he completed his time, so many years, 10 years he completed, then he started walking with them, going back home. And when he was going back home, beautiful thing happened. They were not very sure of the road and they noticed a flicker in the darkness, flicker of light. Musa alayhi salam says, "Oh, my family, you wait here. I am coming. Don't move. I am going to see there. I might get some direction, or minimum, it's a cold night. I'll get a log and come back." Imagine, we need to learn something as men folk, more than anything else. Look at the concern he had for his family members. He put them in a safe place. He went to bring warmth for them, and he went to bring guidance for them, and he was going to come back. And he made an effort now to go towards the light. When he made that effort, Allah opened the doors of light for him. With us, mashallah, the light in our lives, the masajid. We need to make an effort to go to the masjid. When we get from the light in the masjid, go back home and inform your women folk what you heard in the masjid. How many of us are guilty of listening to a powerful talk? We go home and we want to sleep. Whereas it's our duty to get our family together. Tell them, do you know what will happen today? And please don't only tell them that we were told how a wife must respect the husband and so on. We don't want that. We want you to be honest. We were told how men need to make time for their women and respect their women. Let's be honest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors of understanding. That was the sacrifice of Musa alayhi salam. He went, he came back with nubuwa. He came back with prophethood. As he went there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to him, it is me, Allah. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And he was granted that prophethood. And thereafter he came back, and obviously the story progresses. A beautiful story where Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was sent to Fir'aun. But at this juncture, I'd like to make mention of something even more important. When Fir'aun was given the message, he rejected it. May Allah protect us all. We've made mention in the past, when the message comes to us, let's not reject it. When the truth comes to us, let's surrender. Let's admit our faults. Fir'aun says, and we read the verses this evening in Surah Al-Qasas,
وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي.
Fir'aun told his people, oh my people, I don't know of a God for you besides me. I am your God. So this God that Moses is talking about, Musa alayhi salam is talking about, I want to see him. He is in the heavens. Let me see. Oh Haman, and Haman was one of the chiefs, I want you to build me a staircase going up so that I can go and have a peep at where this God of Musa is. Astaghfirullah. Look at how foolish the man is. He can't do it himself. The Allah of Musa would say be, and whatever he wanted was already there. Fir'aun had to tell Haman to build a staircase going up, spiraling up, in order to go and have a peep at the God of Musa. Subhanallah. So that, if you read it carefully, he's acknowledging that Allah exists. He's acknowledging, but he's denying the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to surrender to his will at all times. Ameen. So this was Fir'aun. What a man. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I make mention of it, let me tell you, today we're sitting and listening, mashallah, to this, as though we can see it happening. That's how powerful the Quran is. We are listening to this as though we can see it happening. And Allah tells this to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says,
وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ إِذْ نَادَيْنَا.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were not present by Mount Tur when we called out.
وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the western part, you were not present when we decided this and that, and when we gave Musa alayhi salam the book, but the mercy of Allah dictates that you are given everything completely and accurately, as though you were there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Today, we as Muslimin, we know for a fact that the version we have is 100% correct. It hasn't been altered in 1400 years, and it has come definitely from heaven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that yaqeen and that belief. So this is a gift of Allah. And this is why Allah says, this Quran is so powerful, we are so gifted to have the stories of the messengers before us. But no matter how many stories of the messengers are mentioned to us, guidance comes from Allah. Ask Him for it. We need to ask Allah to guide us. Ya Allah, give us the ability to surrender. Ya Allah, give us the guidance. Ya Allah, guidance is in your hands. مَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. If Allah has decided that someone will be astray, nobody is going to guide that person. And we also say, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can misguide them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
You do not guide whomsoever you wish, O Messenger. Allah guides whomsoever He wishes. This verse was revealed on the occasion of the death of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried very, very hard to convince. Ya Am, قُلْ كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oh my uncle, I want you to utter one small statement. I will then fight your battle after that on the day of Qiyamah. Just say this word. What is it? The most powerful statement. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I'm sure we understand the value of this. The declaration of faith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his uncle, "Oh my uncle, I know the weight of the statement. Just utter these words before you die, the rest I will do." Wallahi, that's exactly what he said. Ya am, qul kalimatan. Just say the statement. Uhajju laka biha yawm al-qiyamah. With that statement, I'll have enough ammo for the day of qiyamah and I'll come and fight your case. Don't worry. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us utter this shahada with proper belief and with yaqeen. The power of it, I've explained a few days back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with an uncle who said, "Oh my nephew, had it not been for these other people around me here, I would have said it a long time ago. But I'm embarrassed that when I die, these rich people of Quraysh, they are going to say that look at this man, he was influenced by a young nephew of his." So Allah says, due to his worry about what others would say about him, he was astray. And this is a lesson for us. Sometimes we want to do what is right in life, and because we are worried about what others are going to say, we don't want to do it. So Allah says, well, in that case, you will have to taste the punishment, or you will have to go through the aggro. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us bold when it comes to pleasing Him. Don't worry what the world will say. I want to repeat a hadith that I mentioned towards the beginning of Ramadan. من أرضى الله بسخط الناس رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه الناس. Whoever pleases Allah and in the process all humankind is displeased with them, Allah will be pleased with that person, and very soon the people will also fall in love with that person. And the hadith continues to say, وَمَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَسْخَطَ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ. Whoever pleases the people and in the process displeases Allah, Allah will be displeased with that person, and very soon everybody will hate that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us really from amongst those who please Him. So this is a lesson that we learn from this particular verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about His power. The fact that night and day is solely the discretion of Allah. He decides when night will come, nightfall will appear, and when the light will appear, and so on. The moon, what have you. All this is Allah. And Allah says, if we wanted, we could have kept the nightfall forever and ever. Then who would bring you the day? We own the day. We brought it for you. Listen to the powerful verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these kuffar of Quraysh, tell them the following. Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Ask them, if Allah had to make night continuous up to the day of Qiyamah, it's only dark. مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. Which God of yours is going to bring the light? Which God of yours besides Allah is going to bring the light? Do you not hear? Why does Allah say, do you not hear? Because at night you can't see. Subhanallah. This is why it's a tip again for the huffaz. The first one, when Allah speaks about the night, He says, do you not hear? Because during night time, He can't say, don't you see? Someone will say, well, if it's dark, how are we going to see? Amazing. And the next one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Ask them, if Allah decided that the light must stay constant, continuous, up to the day of Qiyamah, مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ. Sorry. مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ. Which God besides Allah will come with that night, with that darkness that you need in order to rest? أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Do they not see? Why see? Because if the light is there, then they can see. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the beauty of the Quran. Wallahi, it is so beautiful. Each verse, if we dive into it, wallahi, we will swim forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge. And may He benefit us from the knowledge that He grants us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this. And thereafter, He speaks about Qarun. Today we think the most wealthy of people, you ask them, where do you keep your wealth? They say, well, here it is. They'll show you a small card, a little card, a piece of plastic. They tell you, this is what it looks like. And this thing here will take me throughout the globe and it'll make me purchase the biggest buildings on the globe. MashaAllah, a little card. Allah says, hang on, we want to tell you of someone who had much more. And we want to tell you how we destroyed him. The lesson is for all of us. Allah says, regarding Qarun,
وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ.
We gave him so much wealth that the treasures, the large treasures that he had, full of gold and full of jewelry and full of wealth, Allah says, the keys to those treasures. If each treasure, which was as large as this hall, for example, had one key, Allah says, the keys to all the treasures he owned, just the keys to lift them up was so difficult for a group of strong men. Imagine what he must have had, Qarun. And what was the mistake he made? He was arrogant. He said,
إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي.
You see all this? I got it because of my own intellect. Allah's played no role in this. It was me. I am the hot shot here. May Allah protect us. No matter what we have, it's Allah who accepted us. And this is why I mentioned a few days ago, a lot of the wealthy people, it's got nothing to do with their academic qualification. It's quite true. A lot of the wealthy people, it's got nothing to do with their academic qualification. That alone proves that it's Allah who provides. Subhanallah. There was one uncle who told me that all these people are wasting their time studying. I said, why, uncle? He says, because they stand a better chance to have more money if they are less educated. And I said, well, I didn't look at it that way and I don't think anybody else looks at it that way. It's Allah who decides. There are some who are highly educated and highly granted wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a great way, mashallah. So all this is in the hands of Allah. So Allah says, when Qarun became very arrogant, and he started praising himself, thinking he was big. Allah says, there were some people who looked at him and said, we wish and we hope that we had something like Qarun. We wish and we hope that we had what Qarun has. And the people with knowledge says, don't hope and wish what Allah hasn't given you. Do not wish for that which Allah didn't decide for you. If punishment were to overtake him, it would overtake everybody. And definitely the following day, they noticed that Qarun was no longer there. His palace wasn't there. His treasures weren't there. Where did it go? There was a hole in the earth that swallowed it up. Allah says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ. Allah says, we opened the earth and we caused it to swallow absolutely everything. And people got up. And those who wanted his wealth the previous day, they made a dua. Oh, just as well we didn't make a dua that Allah give us that wealth. Because had we made a dua and had we had some of that wealth, today we were going to be destroyed with Qarun. And then Allah says,
تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا.
The dar, the abode in the akhirah. We have kept it for those who do not want haughtiness in this world. Those who are humble, those who surrender, we've kept for them something far better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. There is one surah that we read known as Surah Al-Ankabut. It is a very, very powerful surah. I want to mention in it just two items. And thereafter, inshallah, we will close. The first is the opening verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named the surah after the spider. For a reason we will come to know just now. But in the opening verses Allah says, Alif Lam Mim. I've told you no one knows the meaning of that. Then he asks a question.
أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ.
Do the people think that it's enough for them to say we are believers and then they won't be tested? Allah says, we have tested everyone before them. in order to distinguish who was truthful in their belief and who wasn't. In a nutshell, when we say we are believers, that is when Allah begins to test us in order to grant us, after knowing whether we are truthful or not, or proving for us or against us, then He grants us. Like the example I gave this afternoon, that those who enter the fold of Islam will find greater difficulty in their lives than those who don't. One might say, but why? The tests are bigger. But why? The hadith says it. Because they have entered the examination room, they are now ready to write the exam. The others haven't even entered the room. What exam do they want? Allahu Akbar. When you want to write matric and you're lounging around outside the hall, will anyone come and give you a paper to say, write this exam? Nobody. But you've entered the right room. MashaAllah. Now the paper will be handed out to you. You'll be tested one after the other. You better pass every test that comes in your direction. What a powerful lesson from the Quran. And until we meet again, صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.